The Tally by Gallifrey is Burning. Read by Caitlin Wrights for Pajamala, my wonderful Voice Team 2024 Purple Puffapods teammate. Summary. Draco and Harry don't get assigned as aura partners, which is good, really, because competing against each other is so much more fun. The current challenge? Who can get more arrests over the course of a year? And if Draco is a little bit smitten, well, that's no one's business but his own. And maybe Parvati's, but only because she won't stop insisting that Harry is flirting. Which he isn't, obviously. "One more for me," Harry crowed, scratching a new tally mark next to his name on the chalkboard behind Draco's head. "Better luck next time, Malfoy." The board had a partner behind Harry's desk, and the tallies recorded on one would reflect on the other. But Harry took great joy in invading Draco's space and rubbing his victories in his face at every opportunity. Not that Draco was any better. It was part of the fun. "Please, that one hardly counted," Draco objected reflexively. "You only caught him because you tripped, for Merlin's sake. Hardly an impressive arrest."
Harry shrugged and grinned, perching on the edge of Draco's desk.
"An arrest is an arrest."
"Whatever," Draco grumped.
He and Harry had been playing this game for over a year now, and the margin was always extremely close. Harry was just barely ahead at the moment, but Draco would catch up to him soon. He and Parvati had a potions ring bust coming up that Harry and Weasley weren't involved in. Once that was done, he'd have overtaken him, and the smug expression currently gracing his colleague's face would disappear along with his lead.
"So, any big weekend plans?" Harry asked, ignoring Draco's pout.
Draco dropped the expression when it failed to produce the desired reaction.
"Nothing too exciting. Yourself?"
"I've got tickets for the Puddlemere game on Saturday, actually. Ron was supposed to come, but something came up, so I'm trying to find someone else who might want to go. It would be a shame for the tickets to go to waste."
Harry was biting his lip and looking hopeful, and for just a moment Draco thought...
But no. If he'd wanted to ask, he would have asked, he told himself firmly.
Taking care to keep his expression light, Draco pondered for a moment before saying,
"I think McCutcheon is a Puddlemere fan. Maybe try him."
"Oh, right."
Draco almost thought that Harry looked disappointed for a moment, but on second glance, his expression was clear and friendly.
"Thanks for the tip. I'll see if he's free. Have a great weekend, Draco. Parvati."
He knocked his knuckles against the desktop twice before straightening and walking off, hands in pockets. Draco watched him go, sighing as he rounded the corner. It really was a pleasure watching him walk away. He was brought back to reality by his partner smacking him in the back of the head with a stack of paperwork.
"Ow! What the fuck, Patil?"
"What the hell is wrong with you?" she hissed, looking even more exasperated with him than usual. "Every time he's over here, you spend the rest of the day mooning, and he finally asks you out, and you say... no?"
"I do not moon."
He did moon, and he knew it, but he wasn't about to say so. He still had his pride.
"And he didn't ask me out, either."
"You're joking, right?"
"He didn't. He just said he had an available ticket. He very clearly had an opening to invite me if he'd wanted to, and he very clearly didn't."
There had been a number of moments like this in recent months, and Parvati kept insisting that Harry was flirting with Draco. For his part, Draco kept insisting that she mind her own business, because she obviously could not read Harry Potter at all if she thought he was interested in Draco.
"You are an absolute moron."
Parvati shook her head in disbelief, but let it drop. They made the bust on Tuesday. Monday had been a rush of preparations and contingency planning and final logistics, and the stakeout had lasted all day. But in the end, it had been worth it. They'd brought in 6 players in one sweep, and were confident that at least one of them would give up the rest in exchange for sentencing leniency. Draco had dropped into bed, exhausted, but elated. He was still riding high when he sauntered into Harry and Weasley's office on Wednesday. He leaned ostentatiously over Harry's desk, stretching almost directly over his perpetually tousled head to grab a piece of chalk and carefully add 6 perfectly straight tally marks to his own side of the board, giving him the lead by 3.
"And that's how you do it," he gloated as he straightened, smirking smugly down at Harry. "Suck it, Potter."
Across the office, he heard Weasley groan and mumble something that sounded suspiciously like,
"He wishes,"
under his breath. Harry looked a bit pink, but still smirked right back up at Draco, so it was probably just the heat.
"Played that one close to the chest, didn't you? But don't worry, I've got something in the pipeline. I'll be back on top before you know it."
In Draco's peripheral vision, he saw Weasley bang his head against his desk.
"I'm getting tea,"
he announced, stalking out of the office. Draco raised an eyebrow at Potter, who shrugged. Now that he was here, Draco didn't quite want to leave yet, so he searched for something else to talk about.
"How was the game?" he finally asked.
"Huh? Oh, the Quidditch game. Yeah, I didn't end up going, actually." Harry rubbed the back of his neck, not making eye contact. "Wasn't really in the mood." Draco wrinkled his brow, not really sure what to make of that. But then, Harry asked a question about the potions bust, and Draco forgot about it, instead focusing on a dramatic retelling of his glorious victory. Harry's next arrest came after a particularly brutal double homicide. It was all anyone was talking about when he arrived that morning, but despite Draco's expectations, and perhaps anticipation, Harry didn't appear at his desk to brag about it. He was feeling a bit anxious by the time he finally saw him passing by his door in the late afternoon, and the feeling only grew when he did. Harry had bags under his eyes, and his usually confident posture was slumped. He didn't look as though he'd slept. He also didn't look like he was going to stop.
"Hey," Draco said, rising from his desk to catch him before he passed by completely. "Haven't seen you today." "Are you okay?"
he didn't say, but he thought it was probably audible in his tone anyway.
"Oh, hey, Draco."
Harry looked up at him, seeming a little lost. He looked hollow behind his eyes, and Draco could feel his eyebrows furrowing in concern.
"Yeah, I've been..."
He trailed off and glanced past Draco into his office, to where the chalkboard hung prominently on the back wall. He seemed to curl even further in on himself.
"I don't want to count this one, okay?" he said, finally. "It doesn't really feel like a victory."
"Yeah, of course,"
Draco said immediately, and he suddenly felt completely helpless.
"Can I..."
he hesitated, and then put a tentative hand on Harry's slumped shoulder.
"Do you need anything?"
He was half sure that Harry would pull away from his touch, but he didn't. If anything, he seemed almost to relax into it.
"I'm okay," he said, and it wasn't convincing, but Draco didn't want to push it. "Thanks, though."
He reached up and gripped Draco's hand where it lay on his shoulder, so briefly that his hand was gone before Draco could even fully register it, and then stepped back, continuing on his way. Draco stood and stared at the chalkboard for a while when he got back to his desk. Then he picked up his eraser and carefully removed one tally from his own side. Their next bust, they were on together. A small neo-Death Eater group that the department had been keeping an eye on, but who hadn't done much of anything until now, had suddenly decided to make a grand statement by threatening a large-scale attack on Diagon Alley if their entirely insane demands weren't met. Needless to say, the Ministry was not interested in negotiation, and the whole Auror force had been called out en masse. Somehow, Harry and Weasley had ended up working in tandem with Draco and Parvati, and now Harry and Draco were back-to-back in a dead-end alley, dueling a pair that seemed to be the last desperate stragglers, while Parvati watched the street, ready to block anyone who might try to interfere, and Weasley stood to the side, clutching his ribs and sweating, but still managing to hold a fairly steady shield charm. There was an unconscious, incarcerist body on the ground near him. His stunner's aim had been true, but the assailant had gotten off one last hex before it hit. He wasn't in imminent danger. Draco had been hit by the same spell before, and it was extremely painful but didn't cause any lasting damage once reversed, and although that would be easy enough to do, they didn't have a wand to spare at the moment. Harry and Draco worked together like they'd been born to it, and if their respective partnerships hadn't been working so well for so long, Draco might have considered it a waste that they weren't paired together. Spells flew around them like fireworks, and they cast and dodged and shielded and attacked without speaking, without pause, until suddenly it was over.
"Ron!"
Harry cried as soon as his wand dropped, but Parvati was already by his side, countering the spell, and Ron's body relaxed almost immediately.
"I'm fine, mate. Great work."
Harry breathed out a sigh of relief and then turned to Draco, chest still heaving with exertion. Draco couldn't help the grin that spread across his face, even as he tried to catch his breath. He could feel sweat tracking down his face, his neck, his back, and he was streaked with dirt, and, he suspected, blood. But they had won, and no one had died, and he was almost high on the rush of it.
"I'm not sure who those count for," he said, half laughing. "It happened too fast. Did you catch who took them down?"
Harry was grinning now, too, the buzzing energy of their win almost visibly coursing through him. He beamed at Draco, and he looked so fucking beautiful, even though he was just as dirty and disheveled as Draco was, that Draco couldn't help but glance, just for a second, at those lips that he'd surreptitiously observed for so long, as they stretched wide with joy. When he snapped his eyes back up, however, it was clear that Harry had seen, because the smile had morphed into something that Draco couldn't put a name to, and his eyes were searching Draco's for something. And then,
"Fuck it,"
he heard Harry say. And then there were hands on either side of his head, and he was being quite thoroughly kissed right there in the alley. He melted into it immediately, pulling Harry closer to himself, almost instinctively. There was an iron tang of blood as their tongues met, and Draco wasn't sure whose it was, but he didn't particularly care. He didn't care about much of anything right now, besides Harry's hands and Harry's lips and the press of Harry's chest and hips against his own, and whether Harry might want to reenact this moment later, but somewhere with a bed and a lot less clothes.
"I told you!" Parvati yelled triumphantly in the background.
"Fucking finally!"
Ron sounded both amused and exasperated. Draco ignored them, in favor of sliding his hands into Harry's bird's nest of hair, pulling lightly and making him groan into the kiss. He supposed this one counted as a win for both of them.